Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the Horsemanship Journey Podcast. I'm Shane Jacob, your host, and I thank you for taking your time to be here with us today. This episode today is brought to us in part by Cowboy Cuffs. Elevate your style, elevate your life. This particular cool shirt is called Spring Runoff. I recommend it. Today we're I'm very happy to have back, and I think you will be too, a returning guest with Dr. Michelle Maidenberg. Dr. Maidenberg has over 30 years of clinical experience and had the honor of helping countless individuals transform their lives. She uncovers a core of emotional avoidance and anxiety that gets in the way of individuals living their best lives. And she is an accomplished speaker and author, including her new book, Ace Your Life, Unleash Your Best Self, and Live the Life You Want, which I have listened to the audiobook 1.5 times so far, and I highly recommend. Dr. Maidenberg, thanks so much for being back with us today. Appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you, Shane. So nice to see you again.
That was pretty quick, and you do so many things, and I just think they're worth mention, particularly this video project company that you have. Tell us a little bit more about the things that you do.
Yeah, thank you. So it's called Through My Eyes. It's a nonprofit, 501c3, and it offers free clinically guided videotaping for chronically medically ill individuals who want to leave a video legacy for their children and loved ones. So it's a real passion project of mine. I've done over 300 videos, and I hope it contributes to the fields of palliative care, because it really helps people in their days, you know, of dying, you know, get the opportunity to express themselves and, you know, carry on their legacy, which is, you know, pretty invaluable, I would say. I'm also a Psychology Today blogger. Actually, I'm just publishing an article today, which I'm very excited about, on 9 tips for improving your connection and communication and relationships. So I do a lot of self-help, you know, publications. I have my book, which you generously mentioned. And then I also teach at NYU. It's a graduate course on mindfulness. It's how to integrate mindfulness into clinical practice. And last but not least, I did a TED Talk, based on what you're speaking to, which is circumventing emotional avoidance. And I also have a YouTube channel. So every Thursday morning at 11 a.m., I publish a new guided meditation.
With all that, which is a lot. I mean, it's incredible, a lot. We appreciate you taking your time to share your perspective and your philosophy, and really add help and value to our audience today.
Thank you.
I want to give a quick recap of just a couple of the notes, and then ask you to comment on a quick recap. And then we kind of had a therapy or a coaching session on a little thing that happened to me. So I wanted to follow up with that secondly. So the notes, the things that I had that stuck out to me in our first episode, if you missed that as a listener or a watcher, were these. We avoid danger and discomfort real or perceived danger. Okay. And I think that's pretty easy to grasp, that we can all understand that, which kind of equals negative emotions. That's what we avoid. Next is when we avoid negative emotion, we cut off or avoid the positive also. And I think that's a point that was worth mentioning. You said that there are many forms of avoidance. Some are positive, some are negative. Mm-hmm. Negative emotions are beneficial because they connect us to our higher order values, which is a new concept to me, and I think to a lot of people. Ask you to comment on that a little bit. Also, that we have a sense that, like, people will trigger us rather than, which is not true. What is more true is that we get triggered by whatever. It's coming from us, not from an outside source, I think is the point there. This is the big thing, okay, that we're not taught compassion. And then the one of the last bullets that I have is that you have seen people over your career, over years and years, who, and you have evidence in your own cases of people who thrive, who develop these skills, which I think is really worth mentioning. Now, that's a lot, but could you just say what you will about all of that?
Yeah. So first of all, I have to say, you did an incredible job at extrapolating like the main points. So you really read the book, I have to say. And I appreciate that because it's thoughtful. So a couple of things that you talked about that I do want to expand on, which are such integral parts of how we move through our stuckness. One thing that you said about negative emotions, how it connects us to our heart or order values, that is such a critical component. And the reason for that is because we tend to get down on ourselves when we have negative emotions. Not only do we have the negative emotions, but we have thoughts and feelings about having the negative emotions. Why am I still thinking about that person? We broke up. I should get over this. Like, it's a year already. What's wrong with me? You know, that's just an example, but it's endless. It's endless. You know, why am I such a worried person? Why can't I get these thoughts out of my mind? Right? So we end up having thoughts about the thoughts and feelings about the feelings and thoughts about the feelings and feelings about the thoughts. And our brains just kind of spiral and spiral. And it's really spiraling into this abyss of kind of negative self-talk, you know, self-deprecation and on and on. Now that negatively impacts our confidence. We're not going to be the most productive, authentic, connected people if we walk around with these negative self-deprecating thoughts and feelings. So that is so critical. And when I have, or what I teach people, when you have a negative emotion coming up, and when I say negative emotion, what are we talking about? We're talking about disappointment, frustration, anger, sadness, you know, and on, the kind of emotions that we don't like to have because they're really uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable because A, it could affect us in our physiology. And also, right, it just, again, it's a lot, we prefer to have feelings like happiness and joy and contentment and satisfaction, you know, those are a lot more, you know, and sometimes, by the way, those also lead to negative emotions too. So we could be connected to somebody and feeling positive, but then get fearful. Oh no, if I get too close, I'm going to get rejected. Or, you know, if I get too close, right, I'm being too vulnerable and that's putting me in a vulnerable position. So all of our emotions could lead to that negative space. What happens is when you're connecting to that negative emotion, what I do is I said, there's pain and values and values and pain. What value is this rubbing up against or tapping into that's leading to this negative emotion? And typically, when we extrapolate what that is, we're able to tap into what we're proud of and what is so unique and special and wonderful about ourselves. So when you get to that point, all feelings are on the table and you have access to everything and you're proud that you had that negative emotion. It literally changes your whole perspective and mindset. So you're walking into your world with a whole different perspective. And that's going to allow you to be more productive and authentic and connected. And who doesn't want that? I know I do. So that's one thing. The triggers, which is another such critical point. What we tend to do, because it's our human nature, we tend to blame. We tend to shame. We tend to judge, right? That is a way that we protect ourselves in our relationship from other people. But what we're really doing is we're protecting ourselves from ourselves. And what we tend to do is when we get evoked with a strong negative emotion, an intense negative emotion, we tend to deflect. And that keeps us remote from ourselves. It keeps us from our self-awareness, our self-love, our self-acceptance, our self-efficacy, and I could go on and on. And when you understand that nobody triggers us, but we get triggered, then you'll go inside internally and say, what was that? A good question to ask yourself to help you to connect with that is to say, how old is that? And who is that within me? Typically, it's a formative self. You know, it's a self, it's a part of ourselves that tends to be a pretty repressed part. You know, it could be an adolescent part, a childhood part, or whatever. And I know when I get activated in that way, and what happens to me is my judgment and my vengeful part comes out, right? And it's a way for me to protect myself because I don't want to get hurt and I don't want to get abandoned and rejected, right? So I'm adverse to that. So I'll get judgmental and I'll blame. And for me, some people, when they were younger, they tend to internalize. Some people tend to externalize. And I find that people who tend to internalize tend to be more on the kind of maybe depressive space. You know, I was always an externalizer, you know. It helped me in a lot of ways. But, you know, as I grew older into my adulthood, it actually negative affected my relationships. So I had to really work on that. And I still do always, you know, because my default position is always kind of externalizing. And I always have to take, because that's just, I'm so used to doing that. It's like a default and an automatic response. So, and it's such a like adaptation from my childhood. So I have to like literally take a deep breath and be like, okay, Michelle, let's go internal. Like, let's kind of like seek like help within and understand yourself better and what is going on for you. And it's so interesting when I tap into that and I ask myself, who is this? I close my eyes to really kind of focus. I connect with such deep emotions. Like sometimes I'll just sit and cry, you know, and I'll have compassion for that side of me that's hurt, you know? So it's such a different experience. And when I speak to the other person or I decide whether or not I want to respond, I do it in a much more like open, conscious, mindful way. It's like a whole different experience. And the response I get from the other person is like a world of difference too. It's amazing, you know? The third thing that you spoke about is not learning compassion. Cannot say that enough. We learn to be compassionate towards others. We never, ever learn to be compassionate towards ourselves. You know, in the article that I wrote that I published today, one of the pieces that I talked about is our vulnerability in conversation and communication. We don't learn how to be compassionate to ourselves, what we need in our relationships. So we have to learn that. And sometimes it is extremely, extremely evasive to learn those skills because it makes us feel awkward and uncomfortable. And then when that happens, guess what we do? We avoid, avoid, avoid. We distract, you know, and we disconnect. So I always say that we need to learn these skills very incrementally and at our own pace so that we don't go into that space of avoidance, which we typically do. That's like kind of a human thing. So in like, if people are sitting with me, I'll say to them, you know, let's just sit here for a second. What does that feel like? What does that feel like just to sit with those emotions right now and to like really, and sometimes people like burst down into tears because it's so overwhelming and they never had opportunities to actually sit. Nobody ever asked them that question. They always kind of just did their adaptation or coping skill. And it could be very overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. Wow. I want to come back and kind of follow up with the call that we made last time, because in that, the big thing you said that a lot of times that we have, I think my struggle in understanding myself and how this works is what you described as in this idea of compassion. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm past 50 years old. Okay. And so it's like, I'm kind of proof that it's not taught because I've been seeking for a long time and it's, I can assure you it's not taught. So I wanted to ask you about that and see if I have a grasp on it. And through that, I think people will be able to learn. So here's the recap. Here's what happened last episode when you were on, a moment and literally 1 minute, I was finishing up the call in seconds before we were supposed to come on with, At our horse feed company, we use a payroll service and they had made a mistake on a young man's check where he couldn't cash his check. It's actually a paper check. I know. Maybe we live in the Stone Age, but I was just flat. There's no other way to say it. I was rude, short, disrespectful, hung up on the lady. And I'm like, I demanded that she did something right now. I don't have time to discuss anything other than fix this problem now. I got off the phone and then I described to you as this kind of came up, this subject, you were kind enough. We just talked about it and I told you what happened And I expressed to you that, you know, I was kind of ashamed and I felt bad that because I didn't want to come out that way. And you had offered that, you know, for me to think about what value I could connect, why I was reacting that way. And I did, and it changed a little bit. My struggle with understanding this was, I'm not used to that. And so I said to myself, you know, and I heard you talk, you say a lot of times we reject it because we think we're accepting that we're just supposed to accept whatever we do. I felt that trying to connect this was to a value was like I was making an excuse for just something that I shouldn't be. Like somewhere I should suffer inside of me for what I had caused this other person. So talk to me about that, because.
Yeah. So that is such a good point, you know, and I think it could get confusing, right? Because what you're saying to me, what I'm hearing from you, is that you are shameful of your behavior, right? And in your mind, because you exhibited this negative behavior, which you were shameful of, that you didn't deserve to feel okay about it, that you needed to suffer in it. Now, you know why your mind is doing that. I'll tell you, this is exactly the point I'm making. Your mind is wired to protect you at all costs from danger and discomfort. Your mind was wired in that moment to protect you from danger. Now, when I say danger, okay, we're using quotes. The danger is, if I forgive myself and if I'm okay with this, I will do this again. So I need to punish myself enough so that I don't exhibit this behavior, because I do not want to be this unattentive, mean, cruel person that I was to this human, because that is not how I want to see myself. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. So I'm saying somewhere that there's a thought rolling around back there, kind of subconsciously saying, if you let this be okay, that's going to be the way you are.
Well, that is an indication of who you are
in the future.
No. Now too, both. It's an indication of who you are. It's an indication of who you will be. And on top of that, you're going to repeat the behavior because you're not punishing yourself enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't want to see yourself as a mean-spirited person. That is like, you know, what is that like to walk around thinking of yourself as a mean-spirited person today in the present, or thinking about that you could be that way in the future? But guess why you're having that thought? Because that is so remote from how you want to be. That's the whole point.
Yeah,
like your disturbance about it is a good thing. Like, would you want to be okay with it? No, you want to be disturbed, because that the disturbance is what's going to help you not repeat the behavior. Going inside of yourself and connecting to who was that person that reacted that way. What value did it kick up for me and rub up against that caused me to behave in that way? Right? That's going to allow you to understand yourself better, so that when you have that reaction, and I say when, because it's going to happen, that you will be more mindful of your behavior and you, in fact, will not repeat that behavior. It's the opposite.
Okay. So this is sort of a paradox that I'm causing. I'm going to cause myself until I can avoid this by accepting that this is an attainment to value will help me do it. So if I were to say, or go ahead.
It's a part of you, right? Because it's not all of you. That's the other piece of it. Like, we see ourselves as unidimensional, and we're not. We're multidimensional. We have parts of ourselves. So you have to own that you do have this curt part of yourself that gets activated when this particular value gets rubbed up against. That is something you do need to accept about yourself, and you need to connect to that and learn about yourself so that you could be hyper aware that that is not, in fact, how you want to be, and you can be more mindful in your behavior in the future.
The difficulty that I have, which you fully understand, that I still am having, I almost have, I think, is that I need to connect, that I'm connecting a behavior that I don't want to continue with a positive value that I have.
That's
so
right.
if I were to say that I value making sure that, which I did, I value making sure that I am dependable to pay my people on time. And yes. And I looked after our conversation, I looked even more into this, into myself. I had some, and I thought, okay, well, and then she said, well, most people, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to hear that. I don't have time for it, whatever. And I even made a kind of a comment about it to you just a minute ago about being in the Stone Age. So I think I had the thought when she said that, you know, maybe I'm not keeping up with, or how's this reflecting on me? Because most people don't do this. And like, what does that mean about me? Was that part of the reason I lashed out? And so, I mean, if I'm trying to connect that to a value, would I say that, you know, I want to be, you know, adequate for the people that I'm responsible for? Or, and you're saying you're nodding yes. So if I connect this.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, for you, and again, I would go a little deeper, right? I would say to you, like, what part of you did that connect to? And I would ask you, how old is this? And when, you know, when in your life did this same particular type of feeling erupt, you know, and you could probably locate it, you know, but I'm hearing a couple of different values. I'm hearing effectiveness. I'm hearing dependability. I'm hearing responsibility. You know, I'm hearing a couple of things that are such key core values of yours that definitely got rubbed up against.
Okay.
That infused this activation that caused you to behave in the way that you did.
When I see that, I connect and I say, okay, I have these values that have been rubbed up against. And so what that means to me, that helps me accept and have compassion and forgive myself, basically. Yeah. Then I can go and repair. And you're saying that I'll have less chances of doing it in the future.
Proud of yourself. You don't have to be proud of your behavior. Let me say that. The behavior is not something to be proud of, because you were actually rude, right? You know that. You're owning that. You know, that's okay. And you could be sad about being rude, because that is so remote from how you want to be. You want to be a kind, caring, compassionate person. So like, yes, like, you know, be upset about that. Like, but be proud that you're upset about that. Like, be okay that you're upset about that. And again, I'm not saying how you should or shouldn't be, because there is no way to be. It is how you are, right? But you could connect to that, and you could say, gosh, in that moment, I was really remote from my value of kindness and consideration. And despite whether I was activated, right? And despite the fact that it rubbed up against other core values of mine, it's not okay for me to behave that way. And I'm going to do a better job next time, because I'm going to really feel the feelings of what it felt like to behave this way towards this person, so that I could actually process that, internalize that, and be more mindful and conscious of my behavior next time with others and with this particular person.
That is awesome. I think this is a big thing for me, because it was hard for me to accept the idea that my behavior was accepted to a value, because I just felt like I was just justifying so much rather than forgiving myself and having it be okay. And I mean, this is a big thing, because this is a big thing, right? Affects everything. If I can more develop this idea.
So let's also talk about what would happen if you didn't go through that process. Because that's important. If you didn't go through that process, what would probably happen, I'm guessing, is you would be very frustrated with yourself, okay? And you'd probably vacillate, I would think. Like, you'd kind of be flooded with thoughts that would probably stick with you all day and maybe beyond that. And you probably would vacillate between, what the hell is wrong with me? Why did I behave that way? Like, I'm so shameful of myself. And what the hell is wrong with the other person, right, for causing me to behave this way? And what the hell is wrong with the other person for not doing what they need to be doing? And it's their fault that they put me in this position. And I could go on and on, by the way.
Yeah.
But those stream of thoughts would go on and on and on, and you would be disturbed by them, and you wouldn't be able to land anywhere. you wouldn't be able to land anywhere because you probably wouldn't connect with the person and repair. You probably wouldn't feel anything positive about yourself. You'd probably be beating yourself up, which again affects your confidence and productivity. And it leads nowhere good.
I got
you. That's the problem. That's the problem.
I got you. That's awesome. Just as a quick update, here is what happened after our conversation. We immediately ended the podcast. My first phone call, I picked up the phone to call my sister who produces this podcast with me. And I accidentally called the payroll lady that I was rude to. So, and then I saw it as they answered the phone and like, King and McLaren. And I'm like, oh no, I wasn't at all prepared. I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. So she took the call and you know, I apologize. I went and I said the things, and I made my good apology, and she's like, uh-huh. Okay. And I mean, she's just like totally silent. In my mind's going, how come you're not saying, you know, giving me more other than nothing? So then I'm like, I went further. I'm like, listen, I really don't want to be that way. I value you and I blah, blah, blah. And I went even further. And then I'm getting the same response. She's like, uh-huh. Okay. And so I said, all right, well, thank you very much for taking my call. And I ended the call and I got off and I'm like, well, that wasn't totally satisfying, but because I was wanting her really to, you know, kind of like, hey, you know, make it all well and everything. She really wasn't giving it up for me. But a couple of minutes later, I thought about this and I'm like, you know what? I did everything I could. What she does with it, she does with it. And, you know, I had like a happy ending. So I appreciate that.
Okay, so Shane, I applaud you. Okay. And by the way, when you are taking action on behalf of your values, there's no contingencies. It's irrespective of how the other person responds to you. It's so that you could go to sleep with a clear conscience every night. That's what it has to do with. And that's what builds your confidence. And that's what builds your core.
Awesome.
Because yes, you did everything you possibly could to align with your values. And you have no control over her. Zero. Oh. Like that's her stuff to work out. And by the way, you know, wounded people wound others. I always say that.
Yeah.
You know? So like that's her stuff to work out. But you could feel proud that you acted in a conscious, caring, and mindful way going forward, despite awesome. How she responded to you.
Michelle, I so much appreciate you and your time in these conversations. I know you've got to get because we're a little late on your schedule today. Just last thoughts and tell us about your book and one more time, Ace.
So I so appreciate you inviting me on again. My book is called Ace Your Life, Unleash Your Best Self and Live the Life You Want. And it's also available on an audiobook. So I'm very excited about that. And I narrated it because I really wanted to connect with my audience. My website, which is my full name.com, has all my information and all of my, like my Psychology Today blogs and my YouTube channel and whatever, any access to me. So I really appreciate you having me on and I hope that I hear from others. And if anybody's also interested in the nonprofit, I am looking for kind of partners, collaborators, because I really do want to expand it. That's a really huge mission of mine. So I'm open. It's a passion project for me.
Michelle, Dr. Maiden Murgle, we wish you continued success in the good work you do. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you, Shane.